Welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. Today, we've got a special guest sharing with us. Jonathan Hardy is a pastor and author of the book, Arrow Striker. He's going to share an encouraging message on how God wants to partner with you to accomplish His purposes. God has opportunities for you to make a difference right where you're at today. All we need to do is believe and take that first step out in faith. It's a great message, and we think you'll really enjoy it. So let's get started today. Here's Jonathan Hardy.
Good morning, church. How are you guys doing today? All right, we're alive and well, aren't we? Man, you guys are rocking in this place. This is so exciting. I've been looking forward to being with you for quite some time now, several months. And I just want to first say thank you to Pastor Nicole for the opportunity to be here. And to see this, what God is doing in this place is very special. And I hope you never take for granted what God is doing in this place right now. And part of that is because you have a pastor who made a decision 8 years ago to say yes to what God wanted her to do in leading this congregation. So aren't you thankful? Well, it is a privilege to be here, and I just want to take a minute to introduce my family to you here on the screen. You can see my family, my wife Ashley, and I have been married for 14 years, and then on the left, my daughter Emery just turned 13 this week, so we now have a teenager in the house and entering that stage. Then on the right, my son Axel is 9 years old, and then my daughter in the middle there, Fia, is 7 years old. So this kind of gives you an idea of who the Hardy family is and who this guy is speaking to you today. I'm a husband and a dad, just like many of you. But I am honored to be able to open up the Word of God in our time together today. If you have your Bibles, I do invite you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. And what I want to talk to you about today is how God has more He wants to do through you. I really believe that there's more that God wants to do, not only in your life, but also through your life. And He's simply looking for people who are willing to say yes to what He wants to do through their lives. In fact, Pastor Quint mentioned my book, Arrow Striker. This was a moment for me to say yes to what God wanted me to do. Several years ago, I felt the Lord impress on my heart and give me a message of helping people live their life with purpose, so that they can leave an eternal impact right where they are every single day without having to drastically change their lives. And this book is based on the passage in 2 Kings 13 that we're going to look at in our time together today. But we're only going to cover just a snippet of all that is unpacked in the book. And so if today's message resonates, and if you are looking to see how could you maybe use your life in a greater way right where you are in your school and your workplace in your neighborhood, then I want to encourage you to pick up a copy afterward. I'll be out back, would love to meet you, and you can just head straight out there and grab a copy of the book. The final thing I'll say about the book is one of the things I hear most about it from people is the stories of just everyday people. I talk about a single mom and how she had influence over just a few people, and a successful businessman and how he was able to use his influence to make a difference. And talk about a college student. In fact, I'll share that story in our time together today. And the reason I share these stories is simply to help you see how you can make an impact right where you are. A lot of times we think that, you know, we've got to go be a missionary overseas or something if we're really going to have impact. But in reality, probably for 99% of us, God wants to use us right where we are here today. So I'd love to have you pick up a copy of the book as well. I have a 6-part video study you could do with small groups, Bible studies, people at work, or maybe even your school. And certainly you can pick that up as well. We'll have that available if you buy that. It'll give you a QR code that lets you get access to it online, and you can download it there. And so I want to give this book away. Do we have any January birthdays? Anyone? Okay, right here. First one I saw. Here, run up here and come get your free book. So let's give her a hand. Happy birthday. All right. Well, hey, we're going to jump into our time together today. I do want to have just one more bit of fun if we can. You know, it's church. We got to have some fun, right? So someone here in the church has this really fancy bow that I am borrowing for today as a little illustration. Now, everyone's probably familiar with how to use a bow and arrow, right? We've all seen it. This is a pretty cool bow, actually. This thing is legit. But we all know how to use a bow and arrow. In fact, do we have any hunters in the house? Anyone like to hunt? Okay, we've got some hunters. That's what I like to see. So we all know you hold it with one hand, you pull back on the string with the other hand, and boom, and that's how you get your big buck, right? Or if you're not a hunter, then, you know, that's how you shoot the target. But we all understand the traditional use of the bow and arrow, but I don't know if you knew this. There's actually another use for the bow and arrow. It's not your traditional use. And certainly I don't want to mess this one up today, so we're not going to demonstrate for you. Don't want anyone to get hurt. So instead, I wanted to show you just a quick video that I found online of another use for the bow and arrow. Let's just take a quick look.
It's in you. How can you be running? How can you be running? It's in you. It's in you.
Boom. There it is, everybody. Oh, man. Okay, see, it's good to have a little bit of fun in church here. So you hunters, that's a new tip. That one's free. You can take that. Use that sometime. Oh, man. Well, believe it or not, you didn't know you were coming to church to learn this today, but there's actually another use for the bow and arrow, and we find it in the Bible. And as we look at 2 Kings chapter 13 today, we're going to see a powerful account of two individuals and how God wanted to work through two individuals to save the nation of Israel. And what we're going to see from this account is how God wants to help us to capture every moment possible to make a difference for the kingdom of God right where we are. And so to set the stage for what we're about to look at here in 2 Kings chapter 13, there's two nations at war with each other. So there's Aram, which is present-day Syria, and then there's Israel. Aram was the more dominant nation. I mean, these guys were just ruthless. They would go into city after city, and they would take it over. And in fact, in chapter 12, they went into Gath, and they just took it over completely. And so now it's Israel's turn to face this dreadful reality, and they're looking at this situation, and things are not looking good. So much so that in 2 Kings 13, starting in verse 7, this is what we find out about the nation of Israel. Nothing had been left of the army of Jehoahaz except 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 foot soldiers. For the king of Aram had destroyed the rest and made them like the dust at threshing time. So if you have a military background, you probably would look at this situation and say, well, this is not much of a military for an entire nation. But this is the reality that Israel was facing in this moment. Things were not looking good. The people are worried. They're afraid. They're thinking, is it just a matter of time and we're all about to be goners? I mean, are they going to come back and just wipe us out completely? That's how desperate this situation was. So you didn't want to mess with Aram. I mean, they're big, they're powerful, and it's pretty much a lost cause to try to stop them. Well, during this time, there was a leadership transition. So Jehoahaz, the king, passes away, and now his son Jehoash becomes the king. And Jehoash is worried, and he's afraid, and he's looking at the situation, and the last thing he wants is for the nation of Israel to be wiped out on his watch, under his leadership. And that's where we pick it up, starting in verse 14. This is what the Bible says. It says, now Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. I might pause just a moment. Elisha's a prophet. Prophet in that day was the spokesperson for God. So God would give the prophet a message. That prophet would then declare that message to the people, even to the king. And there were times throughout Elisha's life where he had a message from God that was going to save the nation of Israel. And this is actually one of those moments. So Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. Remember, he's worried. He's afraid. He says, my father, he cried. The chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will only defeat it three times. Elisha died and was buried. So not your traditional use of the bow and arrow. But what I want to do here for just a moment is kind of describe this scene and unpack a little bit more of what's happening in this account. So as I mentioned, they're worried, they're afraid. The king's worried, he's afraid, and he comes to Elisha. But Elisha, being the man of God that he is, has one final message to encourage this fear-filled king. Now, keep in mind, at this point, Elisha is about to pass away. He's in his 80s. He's basically on his deathbed, literally about to die. But he wants to encourage the king and give hope to the nation of Israel. And so he tells him tells Jehoash to go over to the east window and to shoot the arrow. And as he's going over there, Elisha, the Bible says, he places his hands on the king's hands. And in that moment, the power of God was symbolically given to the king through the placing of Elisha's hands on the king's hands. And what he's saying is, this arrow you're shooting out the window represents victory. This nation, Aram, who is dominant, this nation, Aram, who the people are afraid of, that nation, Israel, you're actually about to wipe them out instead. It was a role reversal. I mean, this would have been like the Cinderella story of the century. This weak Israel, who's basically hanging on by a thread, defeats the superpower Aram at that time. I mean, it would have been crazy, but that's what was happening. And then he told him to strike the ground with his arrows. Now, I also borrowed these arrows here. And what many scholars believe he was telling Jehoash to do in that moment was to literally take the arrows and to like strike the ground with them like this. And we see that he struck the ground three times, but then he stopped. And Elisha says, well, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have completely wiped them out. But instead, you only will get three battle victories. And there's something very powerful that's happening in this moment. You see, I want you to see this, because this is really a caution for you and for me. You see, Jehoash could have gone all out, but he didn't. He stopped short. He gave a half-hearted effort. And as a result, they get a partial victory, but it wasn't the full and complete victory that God had intended for the nation of Israel. And so what I want you to see here is that while this caution for us can be a negative thing, it actually is designed to be a positive thing. You see, God wants us to go all in. He wants us to passionately pursue him. He wants us to use our lives every day possible to make a difference and to get a victory for the kingdom of God. You see, whenever you read the Old Testament physical realities, those are actually spiritual realities for our lives today. So let's use this Old Testament example here. There's a physical war happening in the Old Testament. Well, that directly correlates to the spiritual war, the spiritual battle that we have in our lives today. We're in a battle. I mean, it's a battle of light versus darkness. It's a battle of good versus evil. It's a battle of heaven versus hell. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, then that means you're a soldier in the Lord's army. The moment you said yes to Jesus is the moment you became a spiritual soldier. Just out of curiosity, if you grew up in church, does anyone remember the old Sunday school song, I'm in the Lord's Army? Okay. Oh, we got quite a few. Okay. Well, if you didn't grow up in church, that's okay. If you never heard the song, you can YouTube it after. We give you permission. It's kind of a silly song if you watch it today, but this is what the lyric said. It said, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. You know, and as a kid, I don't think I understood the theological significance of that song. I didn't understand what that meant, but truth be told, as believers in Jesus, we're spiritual soldiers. And we're fighting a spiritual battle, and God's looking for people who will say yes to get the victory for the kingdom. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're fighting in a spiritual battle, and God's looking for people, just like you and me, who are willing to say yes to what he wants to do so that he can get another victory. So as we process this today, a couple of questions to ask yourself are simply this. What does God want to do through you? What is it that you can do to help God, partner with God to get another victory for the kingdom? We just want you to think about that during our time together today. And what we're going to do here is we're going to break this down and look at three realities that we can see from this passage that will help us to more effectively strike our arrows, where we're more effective figuratively speaking, at making a difference for the kingdom right where we are today without even having to drastically change our lives. So the first reality we can see here is that God wants to partner with you to accomplish his purposes. God wants to partner with you to accomplish his purposes. In fact, turn to your neighbor real quick and say, God wants to partner with you. This is crazy if you think about it. The God of the universe, who set the world in motion, who said, let there be light, and light was formed, and he put the sun and the moon and the stars just masterfully in place. Then he creates the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and all of creation, and then after that, he creates humanity. That God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. I mean, he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He doesn't need us at all. But he chooses to work with us and through us to make a difference for the kingdom. He wants to partner with you. He wants to work through your life. He wanted to do that here with Elisha and with Jehoash. Now, when we think about partnering with God, I think 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is probably one of the best illustrations of what that is. The Bible simply says this, that we are Christ's ambassadors. Now, in the United States, we have ambassadors. We have ambassadors all over the world. And so an ambassador is a person who represents the United States. They're looking out for the priorities of the United States. They're looking out for the purposes of the United States. They want to make sure that the United States, their best interest is in mind for the United States in those respective countries. Well, in the same way, we're ambassadors. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 that our citizenship is not actually here on earth, it's in heaven. So as believers in Jesus, we're citizens of heaven, but it's kind of hard to fully comprehend that because we haven't actually been there yet. And yet that's where our eternal home is. But right now we are temporarily living here on earth. And so we are ambassadors here on earth, representatives of God's purposes, of God's plans, of God's will that he wants to fulfill through us. We are partners with God. Now, the ultimate example for us of an ambassador is Jesus himself. Jesus left heaven and came to earth to fulfill the Father's plan for that time in that time period. And we know as believers that our responsibility is really to model our life after Jesus. And as in the same way that he is a representative of heaven here on earth, fulfilling the Father's plan, that's what we ought to do during our time on earth as well. And, you know, we can model our life after Jesus's traits, you know, his compassion, his kindness. You know, we understand that. We understand that Jesus got baptized. And so we get baptized just like the people today, which was just so awesome to see. And if you haven't been baptized, make sure to tap into the next opportunity to do so. But we model our life after Jesus everywhere we go. But, you know, what's interesting is we can't parse what Jesus did and certain things we model, but other things we don't model. And so when it comes to the way Jesus operated, that's another way in which God desires for us to operate, where people are being healed through us, where people are being set free through us, as we're helping people find and follow Jesus, and we're encouraging those who are down. And God wants to use every single one of us to do that. But what can happen is we can look at this life that Jesus lived and say, well, I mean, I don't know that I can do that. But I want you to know what the Bible says. This was Jesus' words. He said in John chapter 14, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. But get this, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. This is crazy if you think about it, but Jesus is basically saying here, everything that I've been doing, you guys are going to do too, and even more than that. And so we can look at our lives and say, well, man, I'm not qualified. there's no way I could do that. But here's the thing. Jesus qualifies those who are unqualified. He takes people who are imperfect, and he allows us to work despite our imperfections. In fact, one of my pastor friends, he says this, I love it. He says, we're all imperfect people on an imperfect journey toward a perfect God. And so sometimes what can happen is we know our imperfections, and that can stop us short of what God might want to do in a moment, in a given moment. But what I want you to know is despite those imperfections, God wants to partner with you to make a difference for the kingdom. This is what he wanted to do with Jehoash. And Jehoash was not a perfect person. In verse 11, we find out that he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And he did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He continued in them. So he kept doing the same sins that Jeroboam was doing. And if you know anything about Jeroboam, he was a very wicked king. And then we see in verse 13 that Jehoash actually names his son after Jeroboam, Jeroboam the second. So there's a lot of evil happening in this king's life. But what's so crazy about this situation is that God already knew all that, and he still wanted to work through the king in order to save the nation of Israel. So here's the good news for you and me. Even if we've messed up, even if we've made mistakes, even if we've had some trauma or things didn't go our way in the past, we don't serve a God of the past, we serve a God of the future. And he wants to work in your life and through your life to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And so despite your past, I want to encourage you today, starting today, moving forward, to step into whatever it is that God might want to do through you, because there is more that he wants to do. I printed off an email that I had received. Someone had read my book, and then they sent me this email. And some of the things I just felt like could be situations that maybe some people in here might be facing. She writes this. She said, past couple of years have been rough, to say the least, battling breast cancer and going through a divorce after 17 years of marriage. My dreams were put on the back burner. And she proceeded to explain some of the calling she was sensing from God that he wanted to do through her. But this is what she said. She said, I had a belief that God cannot use me to make an impact because I'm a divorced Christian woman. And I now know that that's far from the truth. She said, I put off striking my arrows because of fear, because I'm not good enough, because I'm not spiritual enough, and I'm a little messy. But then she said, now I realize it's time. And so what I want you to know today is that maybe things similar to her have caused you to maybe stop short of what God wants to do through you. My hope is that today, moving forward, you'll step into whatever it is that he might have for you, because I do believe there is more God wants to do through you. And just like Elisha placed his hands on the king's hands and symbolically imparting the power of God in that moment, I believe God wants to just lovingly wrap his arms around you and embrace you and help you fulfill whatever it is that you might feel like he wants to do through you. I love what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul was giving the approval to murder of Christians. And yet here, after his conversion and recognizing his need for Jesus, he says he forgets what is behind and he presses on toward what is ahead. God wants to do the same for you today as well. Well, the second reality we see from this passage is that God will give you opportunities to make a difference. So once we recognize that we're soldiers in the Lord's army, that we're on assignment by God, we're ambassadors for Christ, that we're partnering with him, well, then it'll help us to begin realizing that opportunity is actually everywhere we go. The grocery store, the restaurant, your school, your work, your neighborhood, even in your home. All of these are opportunities to make a difference. And there's opportunity here at Erie First. There's opportunity to serve here, to give, to participate in the ministry here. God has a work he wants to do through you, and he's going to give you opportunity after opportunity if you're simply willing to say yes. Now, in this account, Jehoash had an opportunity. His opportunity was to strike his arrows. Elisha's opportunity was just to encourage this fear-filled king. And all of that was designed by God to save the nation of Israel. Unfortunately for Jehoash, we realize that he didn't go all out. But here's the reality. God's given you gifts and talents and resources and abilities and opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom. And I love what the Bible says. Jesus said this in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Friends, we've got to reach this area. And I know that this church is doing so much good for this community, and there's even more that we can do as we reach this next generation. So my encouragement to you is to look and see, how is it that you can be involved in what God is doing and be a part of it? Whether it's here at Erie First, whether it's in your school or workplace or wherever you find yourself day to day, God wants to use your gifts and talents and resources. He wants to give you opportunities so that you can make a difference right where you are. You know, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes we think if we're really going to have an impact, we got to, you know, go be a missionary overseas. But 99% of us probably are designed to be missionaries right here where we are today. God wants to use your gifts. So the question is, well, how do we do that? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 to make the most of every opportunity, to make the most of it, to capitalize on it, to be listening to the Spirit's voice, to be looking with your eyes for the opportunity that's around and being willing to step into those moments whenever possible. In reality, every prayer you pray, it's actually just another strike of your arrows. Every dollar you give is another strike of the arrows. Every word of encouragement you speak, it's another strike of your arrows. Every time you share the gospel or you share your testimony, striking your arrows. Every time you invite someone here to Erie First, another strike of those arrows. Every time you serve here, strike of the arrows. All of these are opportunities for us to make a difference for the kingdom so that God can get more and more victories for the kingdom. And even in when we face life's challenges, those actually can be turned into life's opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom. In the book, I share a story of a woman named Crystal. She was a friend of ours. She lived in our neighborhood when we used to live in Kansas City a number of years ago. And during that time, she was pregnant but had some complications with her pregnancy. And turns out she had the worst thing possible come to be, and she ended up having a stillbirth. So, of course, now she's planning a funeral instead of planning for a baby shower. And when the baby was born, they named the baby Gracia. And on the night of Gracia's funeral, some friends and family gathered together just for a time of prayer and worship, just to be together, to encourage each other, to encourage Crystal. And during that time, they collected some money to give to her, just to be a blessing to her. And it was about $400. And she could do whatever she wanted with that money, to pamper herself, treat herself, take care of herself, whatever she wanted. But she began to pray about it, and she began to think, okay, God, what do you want to do? And as she began to share her story in the days and weeks that followed, she began to realize how many other women had experienced something similar to her. Turns out, 4 weeks after her loss, there was another woman she found that had a pregnancy loss. And in that moment, God birthed an idea in her. And she decided to take that money, that $400, and buy some supplies and a gift box, and to be a blessing to this other mom who just had lost her child. And Crystal didn't set out to start a nonprofit, but that's actually what ended up happening as a result of this situation. Here she just had a life challenge, but she picked up her arrows and said, well, I'm just going to strike the ground and use this to make a difference in someone's life. And now to date, years later, they've given over 3,000 gift boxes to women who've experienced pregnancy loss. And it's all because she had a challenge, but she flipped it into an opportunity to make a difference for the kingdom. And so you might be facing a challenge today, and I'd encourage you to say, hey, how can I use this challenge for the glory of the Lord? Or if you're not in a challenge, how can you just leave this place today and use your life for the Lord? Whatever it is, I know that God has a purpose and a plan that he wants to fulfill through you. Well, the third and final reality we see from this passage is that God will use you to the degree that you believe for his help. God will use you to the degree that you believe for his help. In other words, the degree to which we believe God for the victory is the degree to which we will see the victory. You know, the fact of the matter is our level of faith determines our destiny, determines the outcome of the situations that we face. And so in this case, we saw that Jehoash believed enough to strike the ground three times. And then in verse 24 and 25, we find out he did in fact get three battle victories. Let's look at it. The Bible says, Hazael, king of Aram, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, succeeded him as king. Then Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, recaptured from Ben-Hadad, son of Hazael, the towns he had taken in battle from his father Jehoahaz. Three times Jehoash defeated him, and so he recovered the Israelite towns. It's interesting, isn't it? But it just goes to show that our level of faith will determine the outcome of the situations we face. And our level of faith to believe God will use our lives is going to determine how much he does, in fact, use our lives. And so I want to encourage you to believe with some big faith, to believe and to trust that God actually does want to use you. He wants to partner with you. You are his ambassador. You know, Jesus said that this concept about our level of faith in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29. He says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. So there's something special about our faith to believe that will result in the miracle, that will result in the victory. Jesus said this all the time when he would heal people. He'd say, it's because of your faith that you're healed. Or the time that the men dropped the paralytic man through the roof right in front of Jesus, and Jesus heals him. What does Jesus say? He says, it's because of your friend's faith that you've been healed. So there's something special about our faith to believe that results in the victory. But then to take it even a step further, our faith actually can make the impossible become possible. Jesus said in Matthew 17, 20, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Have you ever had God ask you to do something and you felt like it was just impossible? It's like, there's no way this could happen. Okay, I see a few hands. How about, does anyone have any family members or friends that you look at their life and you think, man, it'd be impossible for them to ever come to know the Lord? Anyone? Okay, we've got. The reality is our faith can take that impossibility and make it a possibility. It's simply through our faith. And that's what Jesus is communicating here. And so what I want you to know is that God is going to use you to the degree that you believe for his help. This reminds me of a story. I shared this story in the book as well. During my sophomore year of college, there was a freshman on the floor. His name was Dominic. And Dominic was a passionate young man. He had a heart for God. And he had a desire to do big things with his life. In fact, Dominic had a goal. It was a spiritual goal. And he typed it up on this 8.5 by 11 sheet of white printer paper, and he just slapped it up on the cream cinder block wall in his dorm room. So every time we're in there, we're seeing this goal that he had on his wall. This is what his goal said. It said 1 million souls. He had a goal of reaching 1 million people with the gospel. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big goal. And that requires some big faith. But this college freshman had the faith to believe he actually could do it. Well, by 2013, he founded an organization called missions.me. And so that's the website. They hold large-scale outreaches around the world. And in 2013, this outreach organization held an outreach in Honduras. That outreach alone reached over 1 million people with the gospel. The next day, this is what the newspapers has actually said. It said, "We have a new Honduras." It's all because there was a college freshman who had this goal typed up, believing that God actually could use his life in a powerful way. And now your goal might not be to reach 1 million people. I'm not trying to set the bar that high for you, but I don't want to set it too low either. But you know, what could God do through you? What might God want to do through your life? You know, my son, he's 9, after kids camp this past summer, I said, "Hey, what God speak to you about?" And he said, "Well, you know, I just felt like I'm supposed to pray for someone once a week." I said, "Okay, that's awesome. Let's do that." So maybe for you, it's offering to pray for someone when you're out at the grocery store at least once a week, or inviting someone to church, or sharing your testimony, I don't know what it is that God might want to do through you. But I do know that there's more that he wants to do. And if we have the faith to believe that he will, in fact, use our lives, that we, through the Spirit of God living inside us, have the power to do the miraculous. He will, in fact, do the miraculous through you. There's more he wants to do through you. He just wants you to say yes. In the Bible, there's a man named Archippus. Most of us in the room probably have never heard of Archippus. Archippus was just kind of a regular person. The Bible actually calls him a fellow soldier fighting the good fight of faith. We don't know much about him outside of that, but in Colossians, this is what Paul told Archippus. He said, "See to it that you complete the work that you've received in the Lord." And this is just a regular guy. This is just a regular person, and yet God had a work he wanted Archippus to complete. And in reality, that's true for all of us in this room. There is a work God wants us to complete. And so I want to encourage you to see to it that you complete the work that you've received in the Lord. Now, right now, we're still in January, still the beginning of 2024. And my hope for you is that 2024 would be the year that you pick up your arrows and you strike the ground more than ever before. That you use your life, however that looks for you in your context, but that you would use it to make a bigger difference for the kingdom, because the opportunity is right in front of you. Now, I will say that one of the opportunities that we all have, some low-hanging fruit, is here at Erie First. And this might be the day that you'd say, "You know what, I'm gonna get involved in ministry." And maybe you've been on the outside, or maybe you're new and you haven't started serving here yet. And maybe today you'd say, "You know what, I'll start serving here. This is a way for me to strike my arrows." And I think that would be awesome. I would love to see more people involved in the work that God is doing here, because God is doing something very special here. I get to travel and be at lots of churches, and this is very special what's happening in here. And so if you get to be a part of that, that would be just so amazing, and God would bless you so much. And so if that is you, I do want to just take a moment. I saw here that you received this card today when you came in, and I would love for you to fill this out. You've got pen or pencils nearby you in your seats. And if you have not been serving, but you'd say, "You know what, this is the year that I want to start serving here at Erie First." There's more ministry that can be done, certainly, when there's more of us that are serving in ministry. And so I want to encourage you to fill out that front. And then on the back, just check that you want to connect with the church family. Someone will follow up with you this week, so that way you can get involved and start serving in ministry. Or the other box, information about serving on a mission trip. I know there's a missions information meeting right after this service today. Maybe that's the thing for you to say, "You know, I'm going to pick up my arrows and strike the ground and go on my first missions trip." I don't know what it is for you, but all I want you to know is that there's a work that God wants you to complete. And so it's our privilege, it's our responsibility to step into those moments so that God can get the victory. Might be here at Erie First, might be in your neighborhood, might be wherever you go. But ultimately, what I want you to know is that striking your arrows will lead to more and more victories, and God will be honored and you will be blessed. So let's give it our all. Let's make the most of every opportunity that we have, and let's see God get the victory. Amen? Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth and the principles that we've learned in our time together today. God, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts about what it is that you want to do through our lives so that we can further advance the kingdom and make the most of every opportunity that you have given us. With heads bowed and with eyes closed and no one looking around, I do want to just take a moment, because it's possible that for some you hear this idea of making the most of every opportunity. You would say that that's great, but that you don't actually have a relationship with God yet. And today I want to give you an opportunity to put your faith in Jesus. You know, the Bible says that unless a person is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so there's a spiritual rebirth that happens in our hearts and in our lives when we follow Jesus and we make him the leader of our life, where we begin to follow him from this day forward. And so if that's you and you'd say, you know what, Jonathan, I've never actually given my life to Jesus. I've never put my faith in Jesus. I've never began to follow Jesus. Or maybe for some of you, maybe at one time you did and you've kind of strayed away and have not presently been following Jesus. Today's an opportunity for you to recommit your life. So for you today, the very first yes that you might give to God might be a yes to following him, to making him the Lord of your life. You know, the Bible tells us that we are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And that all happens when we put our faith in Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us that all we have to do is confess with our mouth that he is the Lord, and to believe in our heart. And that is what leads to your salvation. And so I just want to encourage you today, if you have not been saved, today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. This is the moment for you to make an opportunity to step into what Jesus would have for your life by putting your faith in him. And so with heads bowed and with eyes closed, with no one looking around, if you'd say, you know what, Jonathan, I've been away from God, I'm not serving God, but I want to get right with God, I want to follow him, would you just lift up your hand? We're going to pray with you. Awesome. Several hands going up. You want to give your life to Jesus, maybe for the first time or maybe for the first time in a long time. Once you put your hand up, you can put it down. I see several hands. Is there anyone else that hasn't lifted your hand yet? You say, you know what? I'm away from God, but I want to follow him. Today is your day. This is your moment to put your faith in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these who've raised their hands. God, I pray that you would honor them for their commitment to you and that you would help them as they take steps forward in their faith with you. Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. We'd love it if you gave us a rating and a review on your podcast app, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.